about the various svegas. And the Mishnah tells us two things. In a way, the halachas are almost in contradiction. The first halacha is that a shemeres yavam has the absolute right, even l'chatzchila, to sell mitzvei malot, that if she inherits anything. And slav davka, she inherited, she has this malot from before. Whatever she had before, she's allowed to be maseres v'nei senes, which means the yavam has no sechusim. The yavam has no sechuyas in the mitzvei malot at all. Le'idach kisa, if she dies, there is a safek whether he is a yairesh. Because there is a suffix, so we have machlekes. According to Beis Shammai, everything is yachleku. According to Beis Hillel, we apply rules of chazaka. But the bottom line is, there is going to be a suffix. So we'll see, the riff will be in the Shiva Gemara that will be Masber. Now, the next halacha is kansa. Right, we're going in order here. In other words, she fell, the yibum. So the case number one is she dies. If she didn't die, and then a yibum is effected, so what is the din at that point? Harehi ki ishtai l'chol davar, that once he's miyabeng, it is certainly his wife. Now that would mean, therefore, that whatever nichsei maluk she is, she brings, he pishtesach, has the right of peiros. Right? The Mishnah is differentiating between her dying before the yibum and afterwards, in which case he would have the nichsei maluk. But there's only one exception. There is only one exception to the rule that is ishtai l'chol davar. Of course, ishtai l'chol davar she needs a get, not chalitza from now on. And that is a govad shetehei k'suvasa al nichsei bai l'harishim. Okay, we're going to see what this is. What the normal yisayt of a k'suva is that a k'suva becomes a shibut on the nechasim of the baal. Me'ikir adin, it is only a shibut on karka. Me'ikir adin, if all the baal has a metalkalim, when he dies or he divorces her, she doesn't have a right to collect from a talpulin. But what, as much as that, Taisus brings in a number of places, that there is a takana saga'inim, that we collect a ksuba even from a talpulin, and that is why the modern or the standard nusach of a ksuba says, afilu min galima di al kasvei, even from the shirt on my back. But medina di gemara, a kesuva is collected only from karka, and it creates a shibud, so even if the husband sells the karka, she can collect from lekuchas, right? That's the normal principle. So here, what we're saying is that the shibud of the kesuva, now this includes the manem, masayim, the tesebes, and the shibud on the debt of nichsei tzayim barzel. The shibud is only assertable against the karka that the yavam yarshined from the mace.
Excuse me one second. A creditor can always take from metaltalim of a person. It's just if they don't have anything, can they go after the shikudim?
Well, okay.
So even in the time of the Gemara, she should be able to get the gleam of male kaspe.
Yeah. So that's not really true. In other words, you see, at most that might be true in the case of a get.
Right, and again,
but not in the case of an almana.
No, I'm talking about while he's alive.
While he's alive, yeah. And that's the question. There is a question if it's minay, right? Minay, collecting from
right,
him.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying.
That could be. Although there is a machlokas regarding if by ksuba, we don't. By a normal milga, that is correct. By a normal milga,
she's no worse than a normal.
No, some say that the chachamim made the old din of ksuba. Not in the nature of a chov, is in the nature of a shiba, meaning either there's a shiba on the karka or she doesn't have the right to collect the ksuba.
Even in the case he divorces her?
Even in the case he divorces her. That's machlokas. But l'chala pachas, even if we assume that a ksuba is no worse than a milga, it's a debt.
Right.
It was a debt, but the halacha is once the actual laiva or the debtor dies,
right.
It's only collectible as a shibud.
Right.
Shibud is only on karka, not the talpulin.
Right. But the lashon in the Gemara, once he's dead, she's not going to take he's not going to take his shirt
right.
off his back.
Once he's dead.
Yeah,
but he can't. Well, I understand that, but he can't take the shirt off. I understand that, but if you look at the Nusach of the Ksuba, says all of my nechasim are meshubed l'ksuba, including the klimas. Right. So there is a shibud in the ksuba on the problem, meaning the man is dead.
I see.
Even if the husband dies, the you can take the shirt off his head right. back. Yeah. No, you are correct. In other words, the rule that metaltalei diksuba lo mishta metaltalei lo mishabdi diksuba might only apply if you're going after Yisai Yorshim or Lukuchas. It may not apply if you're going after the person himself. But here the Mishnah says a big chiddush. The Mishnah says, although we'll see in a moment, there's a huge qualification. The Mishnah says that the shibud, in other words, what happens like this: a man dies. So Aliba Diemas, the woman does not collect her ksuba if she's a Shomeris Yavam, because if I'm a Yavam, I'm taking over the Ishus. So in effect, she has a ksuba claim, but it's not going to be collectible until the Yavam divorces her, or the Yavam dies. And the Mishnah tells me that when she enforces the shibud of the ksuba, let's say when the Yavam dies, she can only collect it from the estate, from the karka of the Baal HaRishayin, that the Yavam Yarshin. She cannot assert the collection of her kesuba against the karka that belongs to the Yavam that he did not get from the brother. So that's a big exception. Normally, if I marry a woman, my karka becomes meshuvah. Zakta Mishnah, even though it's ki ishta l'chol davar, but the kesuba is only al nichsei by la harishon. But you'll see in a moment that this halacha is kimat extinct, and it's difficult. We shouldn't have to talk about what's the chashivas of it. Look at the next line. First of all, the Mishnah says kotsa harei ki ishta l'chol davar. L'may yilchasa, what is that trying to teach me? So Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina malame shemegarshav again. Two halachas. That once you do yibum, if you want to dissolve this, you cannot dissolve it by chalitza. You have to do a get. That's one chiddush of she is your wife. And the second chiddush is umachzira. What's the pshat? I might have thought like this. I might have thought that really she's an eshesach. Elomai, the Torah matters the mitzvah of yibum. So I'm allowed and even commanded to marry her, but once I divorce her, so it's, you know, the mitzvah of Yibam was finished. Eibazai, the second marriage, one might assume would be an Isra of Eishazach. The answer is that once you're Miyaben Kedin, the Isra of Eishazach is Nifka, and just like any other wife, you could be Master until, of course, she married somebody else. Right, so these are two halachas. Megarsha begets, Umachzirin, right? That's the chiddush, that she is like your wife. But then we say, the ksuba is al nifsei baila harishay. But then it says like this, v'i lesla me rishay. If there aren't any assets of the rishay, or let's say the assets of the rishay is not sufficient to pay off the yikr, the taisefes, and the nichsei tzayin barzel of the nedunya, takino la mesheni, the chachamim were matil, a shibud on the nechasim of the yavam. Why? For a very simple reason, because this is the basis of all ksuba claims. Today, shelo tehei kala b'yena leitzim. So machlekes in the Gemara generally, if ksuba is the arise or rabbanan, but whatever it is, if it's the Rabbanan, it is precisely because by creating a financial obligation, if he divorces his wife, it shouldn't be easy for him to do it. He should think twice. So the Mavel, the same thing here. We don't want the Yavam to divorce her either. Now, if the Yavam's not going to have any fear for his kids, yes, here, Lechara, we have a Raya, not like you're saying, because like this. What do we say over here? We say over here, we have to be Misakein. That we have to be misake neksuva, that is a shibud on the nichsei asheni, so it shouldn't be kala b'ena lahitzia. Now that's mashma. That if I would have followed the din of the Mishnah, that the ksuva is only on the nechasim of the rishayim, if he divorced her, right, he wouldn't have to pay. In other words, what I'm saying is, we see from here that under the din of the Mishnah, under the din of the Mishnah,
why not? If he doesn't have enough assets, he doesn't have enough assets. What are you going to do?
He has enough assets, but there's not enough assets of the Rishon.
I'm saying the Rishon.
If you apply the din of the Mishnah, right? The Gemara is qualifying the din of the Mishnah. But if you apply the din of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says Ksuvasa Alnichsa Lala HaRishon, right? That her rights to the Ksuva are limited.
Right.
To the chasim of the Baal Nedarim.
Right.
If you were to apply that then,
yeah.
And let's say that the chasim of the Baal that died are insufficient to pay off her ksuba, so when the yavam dies or divorces her, even he would not have to pay beyond the chasim of the maid, even if he has his own money.
Right. But that's true because the Torah says that he steps into the shoes of his brother. So therefore the kesuva, he's not obligated in the kesuva, except by the takanas chachamim. But in Torah, he's not obligated in the kesuva.
Oh, I see. He is like a yoresh or a lokeach. In other words, see, the question we're discussing is this: when Chazal say, for example, the shibud of a kesuva is only on karka. Right, and the talpulim of a ksuba are not meshubit, what does that normally mean? Right, so what Dershona was saying is, which makes sense that we talk a paska that way, is, well, even if the talpulim are not meshubit, but if the woman is collecting from the husband himself because he divorced her, it's a debt. Same thing with the Baal Chayv, right? A loivis talpulim are also not meshubit to a chov. But as long as there's a shibud on the leiva has to pay. So the whole rule that we say a ksuba is only from karka and not from a talpulim does not refer to a limitation on collecting from the husband if he divorces her. But it would only happen nafkamina either when the husband dies or where she is trying to collect from a purchaser of property. So then we say she can only go after a purchaser of land. She cannot go after a purchaser of Metalpa. But legabe the laiva gufa, you don't need a shibud on the property, the laiva is obligated. So he was saying, we passed it that way, Taka, that the husband is in an identical position. When a woman is collecting a ksuba from a husband, we don't say the woman only collects the ksuba if the husband has land, because the husband is a laiva, or a debtor. As a debtor, right. So the question is, with legabe the yavam, you see, if there wouldn't have been a special takanas chachamim, the yavam would in fact be off the hook if he did, right? But the answer is that's not a kasha, because the yavam is not the original husband. In other words, the yavam is like a yoresh of the husband, although he now has his own marriage, but it's a continuation of the ishus of the husband. So I would have applied kind of the same rules as a lokeach. Think about it this way. If I'm a yoresh or a lokeach, at most the obligation of my ksuba is on the property I inherited or bought. It's not on my own property. So mi ikara din, the yavam is exactly the same way, but the chachamim made a special takana, a takana on top of a takana, because the ksuba gufa might be drabana, that it shouldn't be kalabien of lenziya. Wow. So the question is this, the big question is, all the Rishayim asked the question, so Eibazai, what is the significance of saying, that you're telling me, her rights of the ksuba are limited to Nichsei Baila HaRishayim, but if it's not enough, she can go after the Nichsei, the chasim of the mace, of the yavam. All right? So is there any significance to the limitation? Meaning, practically, she can go after all property, or all karka at least, that the yavam has. So what is the significance of the din that it's nichsei by la harishon? Right? What is that?
And there's no possibility to write another ksuba when it's just over. If the market changed, if the price changed.
To do what?
In other words, the yavam will now have a new ksuba with this woman because it's a new person, or you just...
No, the answer is, he's not. Well, he could, if he wants to voluntarily be machayev himself, he could. But why would he want to do a new ksuba?
Because he doesn't want to deal with the old ksuba, according to this. The market price has gone down for what
market a dowry. Price of what?
Of the money in the ksuba.
I don't know what you mean, the market price. The first ksuba has a mana masayim tesepes, and a value was placed on the nedunya he brought in. Right. So the ksuba is a monetary statement. Right. You owe me, the man owes the woman $100,000.
Right.
So what's the new ksuba?
The new ksuba is $10,000. It's a recession, depression, whatever it was. In other words, the duty is...
Why does she have to agree to that? She says, I have $100,000.
She shouldn't have to agree.
He can't be monster her that ksuba. So look at the Mukiyesh. The Mukiyesh of the horns here. Ruki Yosef says, on this day by Lahir Rishain, She'ein Nichsei Hayavam Mishubadim Laklau, Yachal Lumaychren Kishiyirza, the Ishain Dulav in the Shemayim, Miyu Kal Nichsei by Lahir Rishain, Mishubadim Laksubas, Opishim Zaychaban, and Yachal Lumaychren below Rishusa, Apopishiyash Nichasim, Kifle Kiflaim Laksubas, the Taimed Yimish Tatfi Hani, Gavi Mehani. Number one, we start off with the idea that the nichsei hayogvam are not, in other words, if at the time of the yivam, this is what we're looking at, if at the time of the yivam, the nichsei hames are sufficient to cover the ksuba, there is no shikud at that point on the nechasim of the yavam, which gives the yavam the right to sell that property. The Isha Hignu Lo Min HaShemayim. All right, so this would be the... One second. What happens if later the property goes down in value? Kol Nichsei Baila HaRishon Mishubadim. And even though he's Zaycha, he cannot be Meicher without his Rishus. Di Mishat Vihani Kavi Mihani. Rambam says, Shemeres Yavam Kesuvasa al kol nichsei baila. The dead husband. Lefikach, Ein ha-yavam yachayu limkor b'nichsei yochiv. Bein kaidem yibam, bein achar yibam. Im machar einasan matana, o chalak imechav b'nichsei ameis. Whatever reason you would do that, loy aso klum, shekvar nischayvu nechasim elu lialmanais lalmana likvais mayam ksuga. So this is what the Mukhi Yezim is referring to. That since the ikar shivat of the ksuga is on nichsei baila, so mimela any mechira of those nechasim, whether it's before yibam, actually before yibam mechira is pashtus. How could he sell? In fact, it's very sure. Why does the Rambam bring up ksuba?
He can't sell it because
it's not his yet. But even after yibam, when it's vada is his property.
We don't even know if he's going to do yibam.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to know why the Rambam brings in Kaidem Yiv. I mean, the bottom line is that's a good Hebrew, but I wouldn't say that's because of
there's no possibility that she can collect from these.
The Kaidem Yiv he has, he does have an interest equal to the rest of his brothers.
Say he's the only brother.
Same as any brother.
Yeah. Right? Say he's the only brother.
Or if he is, if he was the only brother.
If he is Chalitza, he's
also, anyway, he's going to get it.
There's Zika between them.
Maybe you think so.
Then he decides to do Chalitza. Yeah. He games over. She can't collect the dead husband's skua from this person, Genji.
Of course she can't. Well,
she does Chalitza.
What, the skua goes away? I mean,
no, from the person, the Chalitza, the brother.
She collects from the Nechsei Baal, wherever the Nechasim of the dead husband are.
With his father.
Okay, with her father.
But she can't collect from the brother because he happened to have done chalitza to her.
She's not collecting from the brother. She's collecting from the nechasim of the mace, wherever those nechasim are.
Right. I'm saying here. We're saying that it goes over.
The din that there's a shibud on the yavam's property is only if he does yiba. If he does chalitza,
right.
If he does chalitza, there's no shibud on his property. But all that means is she'll collect her ksuba from.
But she can't take from the image.
But the question is, I don't even know what this means. I mean, the Rambam says that the Yavam cannot sell, and Bukhi Yezer says the same thing, that because there's a shibud of Ksuba, let's take a regular husband. A husband can sell property. I mean, even though all the property is Meshubud L'Ksuba, a husband sells property, and the property is subject to the shibud of the Ksuba. I mean, there's no rule that a husband
can. He doesn't need his wife's permission?
The Pashtus, he doesn't. In other words, he would need his wife's permission in order to take off the shibud of the ksuba. So a buyer might say, I'm not going to buy unless your wife signs off.
I need to remember something.
There is a lashon. The Mishnah has a lashon. There's a Mishnah in Gittin that says, Lakach mino ish v'chazer lakach mino isha. That if you bought property and then the woman signed off afterwards, that's not a valid consent.
Right, because
she's afraid of her husband or not. But if you first get the woman's consent and then you get his consent, it's a valid one.
Right.
But the pashtus of the sugya is that it's not a question of the validity of the sale, it's a question of her mechila on the shibud of the ksuba.
So buyers generally, you know, they want something uncovered. I understand
realistically people don't want to buy property that the woman can go after them,
right.
But is that what the Rambam means? When the Rambam says Eino yocho and if he was mocher loy osoklum, does loy osoklum mean it is not a sale, or it just means it's not a sale that has any validity to take away her right to collect?
Pastor's talking about just a mimer or something like that, something the intermediate stage. In other words, when she's already starting the process, but he didn't. Is that possible?
Well, you're just asking what kind of Ibram. I mean, this does apply after Ibram too.
Of course, yeah. No. So the closing, that's the strange.
Even mimer doesn't give him that right. So one second though. So here we have a very big nafkamina therefore. So that actually means the Mugi Yosef is telling me the following. The question is, you're telling me that her ksuba is on Nichsei Baila HaRishon. But if the Baal HaRishon doesn't have, she can go after the Baal HaSheni. Zaktin Muka Yosef and the Rambam, the Nafkamina is whether there'll be a shibud on property that the Yavam sold. That is, with respect to the Nichsei Baila HaRishon, which has the Iker shibud, his mechira is not valid. Now that may mean not valid at all, or it may mean not valid to preclude her from collecting. But legabe, the mechira of his own property, whatever was sold is considered to be free and clear if at the time it was sold. See, that's enough gemina. You have to look at two scenarios here. One scenario is that in the course of their marriage, their yibum, he liquidates his own property, but at the time there was sufficient assets of the yavam, of the mace, to cover the ksuba. So at that point, there is no shibud on that property, So the lokeach takes it free and clear. So even if, by the time the yomim dies, there is an insufficiency, the lokeach is free. Right, so that's the nafkamina. Meaning, legabe what the yomim himself has, there's really no nafkamina, because if there's not, we don't really care if the ksuv is on this or this or that, because whatever he's not able to pay out of the nifsei ames will come out of his property. But a very big nafkamina would be buyers. Since there is no shibud on the nifsei hayavam, as long as there are nifsei ames that are sufficient, so every lokeach of the nifsei hayavam is taking it free and clear, so she might be stuck. She might in fact be stuck. If the yavam dies many years later, or the yavam divorces her many years later, and at that time, the nifsei hayavam, the nifsei hames, are not valuable enough because of deflation or whatever to pay off her ksuba, and the only nifsei hayavam that are available were already liquidated and sold, and the cash was spent, she will taka not be able to collect the ksuba. In contradistinction to a regular marriage, where she would be able to go after the lukuches at any stage, because all of the property was subject to an equal shibud. So that's the nafkamina between the shibud on the nichsei hames and the shibud on the nichsei habal. Ultimately, she'll be able to collect from whatever the yavam has, but she won't be able to go after lukuches for that if the nichsei hames are ishtadif. Okay. All right, let's see the next Mishnah. I remember. Let me see if there are, I want to say one other thing. Because I think there's an important machlekes here, because some Rishayim say, I don't see the Mugi Yezib bring it. Some Rishayim say there's also a tremendous other big difference, a big, big difference, which is a dollars and cents difference. That is, if the Iker Shibud of the Ksuba is on the Nichsei Hames, and the only reason there's a backup against the Nichsei Hayavam is that it shouldn't be Kala B'Eino Laisiya, that will only give her rights to Mana Masayim. It will not give her rights to the Dunya claim. And that's a very big nafkamina. Let's say that her rights against her late husband's property was $100,000 of the Dunya. Because she brought in a Dunya, right? She's entitled to $100,000 of the Dunya. The Yavam marries her, the Yavam dies 20 years later. The Nichsei HaYavam are only worth $20,000. I'm sorry, the Nichsei HaMeis is worth $20,000, but the Yavam has $1 million of property. Now, Be'ikir Hadin, her rights for the Ksuba are limited to the Nichsei HaMeis, but because that it shouldn't be Kala V'Ein of Lansia, they allow her to also collect from the Nichsei HaYavam. But that might only be the Mana Masayim, which means that the Dunya might be forfeited. Now, the Rif is not Mechalek, so it would be difficult to be Machnes such a Chilek in the Rif himself. Let me just see what that book around him says. Only brings the halacha of Nechsei Baila Harishan. I don't see the halacha here of Ilaswa Mirishan and Mishan. see where the Rambam even brings the halacha, he less like the Rishon. Nobody's chaylik in that Rambam learns totally, totally different. 180 degree different interpretation. The lashon of the Gemara, if she doesn't have a ksuba me'rishayim, they were misakin from the sheni. So everybody learns that means there is insufficient property of the rishayim to cover her ksuba. She goes to the sheni. The Rambam learns no. The Rambam learns if the first guy didn't give her a ksuba. meaning, either the Rambam says she was mocheles for whatever reason, mm-hmm. she signed a waiver, she was mocheles the ksuba, or he didn't give her a ksuba. Now the question is, it's a tonight basis. What do you mean? Even if a man writes nothing at all,
right?
It's hard to understand the case. But the point that the Rambam is making is there is no backup liability. Meaning to say. If there was a ksuba from the Rishay, then her claim is limited exclusively to the Nichsei Rishay, and she has no right at all to go after the Nichsei Hasheni. The only thing is, if she has no ksuba rights whatsoever vis-a-vis the Rishay, then the Sheni is mechuyev to write her, the Rambam says, a ksuba meya, because she's an almana, and that's it. So the Rambam is mamish, a totally different shot. The Rambam is learning, he less la me rishayim, take the words quite literally, mm-hmm. less la me rishayim. Mm-hmm. She has no ksuba mm-hmm. from the rishayim at all.
That's how she married. The whole thing is a specific.
Well, first of all, I mean, the fact that she didn't have a ksuba as a messias is not difficult. There are people who marry without a ksuba. The only question is, b'chayra, if I marry a woman without a ksuba, I am still mechoyev b'rana masayim. Yes. Because that's a takanas chachamim. Now, if she's mocheles, that's a different thing. Now, Aliba di Emes, she's not allowed to be mocheles during a marriage. simply because they're not allowed to live together without a ksuba. But
he could pay it
because after he died,
he could pay it during the marriage.
No, actually he cannot. He cannot because
all sorts of cases
because of the din of kala b'yeng of lanzi.
But there were all sorts of cases where he paid. Well, that's after he was divorced.
After he was divorced. Yeah. See, that's good for divorce. You're not allowed to either be. In other words, she can be mochel ksuba after she's divorced, the widow. That's fine. But she cannot, in an ongoing marriage, be mochel ksuba, because at that point it now becomes kala b'yenav l'hansiya, and the chachamim prohibited a relationship where it's kala b'yenav l'hansiya.
So the only case we're talking about here is after
he dies. Either she's mochel
after
he died,
or it's a white case.
You know, who knows? Or she was mochelis while he was alive, but then it was biaser. I mean, you're not allowed to be mochelis, but that doesn't mean.
But he was still over. Pasha's still over.
No,
she's mochelis even biaser.
He has no rights. Mochila is a mochila.
So they're just living in this.
Halacha is that if a woman is mochelis a ksuba, the husband and the wife are not allowed to continue living together until he writes a new ksuba.
They do.
But if they did, they did. They did.
She can't be mechala tonight in the kiddushin either, right? That's for sure.
Mechala what?
Tonight in the kiddushin of communion. If the,
in other words, if there was a kiddushin on it tonight, could she be mechala?
This tonight, it's not based on that. They have to give a ksuba.
Yeah,
she can't be mechala that.
Well, she could be mechala. She could be mechala.
Again.
Yeah, no, she'd be mechala tonight based on the film.
But then it would be also with them did it together.
It is
just the same case.
Yeah, that's correct.
Even partial.
So that's the question. I mean, the Rambam gives two cases. The Rambam gives a case. She is my chalas or ksuba, or ain lo ksuba. So I don't understand ain lo ksuba. If she's my chalas, good. So my chalas will be okay, even if it's b'yisr. But ain lo ksuba, if that just means he didn't write the ksuba, so what? If he didn't write a ksuba and she wasn't my chalas, he's going to be chayiv. Elamai, she was my chalas. That's the case of my chalas. What is the point of those two cases? That's a bit of a bitzarichian, but it's interesting the way the Rambam learns. In such a case, she effectively forfeited her nedunya. She was mochelis, but may a time she yet. So the Yavam's only obligation is to write a ksuba of mayim. That's all he has to do, because it shouldn't be kala b'yenav l'hansiya. Okay, but so many Rishonim learn not like the Rambam. Many Rishonim learn that this is a residual backup for the entire ksuba, meaning to say, imein lo the rishon means not she doesn't have a ksuba from the rishon, but there are not nechasim of the rishon to cover. Right, so that's a big machlokes. What the riff holds, I'm not sure. The riff is not a farish.
Remember saying before the summer shemal is no nedunya and no tosefas also. Or
that's correct.
Just
that's correct. So you really have three shitas here. You have three shitas. Some rishonim say the entire full ksuba, including nidunya, is collectible from the nichsei hayavam if there's not enough in the nichsei hameis. And the only maila of the shibud on nichsei hameis is that whatever he sold would be free and clear of the shibud from his property. That's shita number one. Shita number two is that she does have a right to collect her ksuba from the nichsei hayavam, but only for the money masayim and not for the nidunya. And shita number three is the Rambam that says that if there was a kesuba from the Baal HaRishayim, then it's only collectible out of the Nichsei HaYavam, Nichsei HaMetz, and if there's not enough, then she's out of luck for everything. And it's only the case where there is no kesuba at all that Mechilas kesuba that I say she gets a kesuba of the money. It shouldn't be kala b'yenav l'hansiya.
The first sheet where it's always going to be collectible from the shibudim. That's the point. Anybody? That's the mayor assigned according to the second sheet. That's to say.
Yeah. So according to everyone,
not according to Rambam. No. But the second sheet we brought down, where it's just the mayor assigned, but not the zevus.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. So the same idea work out that once he would quote unquote sell it.
Oh.
I think
the idea would be that if at the time of the Mechira, then that you say would be Muskan. If at the time of the Mechira there was enough in the Yavam's property to cover it, so every Lokeach took the Nichsi Hayava, free and clear of the Shiva. Yeah, that's where we would go. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting if the riff is not, what sheet is the riff going with? I really have no idea. Whatever the riff meant, he must have held it with some passion. But I don't know if it means this or that, but he didn't even have to bother to explain it. Although, there's also a reasonable suspicion that if the Rambam learned a certain way, at least that is the way the Rambam understood the riff. It's a relatively safe assumption. Unless it's explicit that he's chaylik on the riff, that he's going with the shitas, with the shitas. Okay, let's see the next Mishnah. So now the next Mishnah moves into general halachas of Iva. And it says, mitzvah begadar liyamin. Okay, that when you have multiple brothers and they all want to do the mitzvah of Iva, there is a mitzvah that the oldest brother. Now we'll see. Muki Yisuf says, the Gemara says, it's really based on the pasuk that in the parsha of Yibam it says, "V'haya b'chor." Now this is interesting. This is an example. The Gemara has a little bit of a whole discussion. The Rif doesn't bring it. Of the very interesting klal of Ein Hamikra Yitze Midei Pshuta. Right? There is a musaf that even if we have drushos and different interpretations, but the pshat of a pasuk always has to have some type of kiyum. Sometimes it's hard to see that. Ayin tachas ayin. Like, how are you makayim the pshat? The may ayin? Okay, so the Gemara says, though, that
except according to the Groh, of course. Right? The Groh is a simple pasuk pshat.
What is the Groh
say? Ayin tachas ayin, you look at the next letter and it spells kesef.
Oh, okay. I don't know that quality. Right?
Pasuk pshat. Pasuk
pshat. Okay. It's not so simple. What is pshat? I wrote an article. The pshat in pshat. What is pshat? What is drash? But be this it may, the Gemara says one of the exceptions in which the pshuta shel mikra is pashat ignored is this pasuk. V'haya habachor asher tele yokum al shem achiv hames. It's a dover pashat. That the pasuk pshat of the pasuk is it's talking about the son that is born from Yibam. That the firstborn son that is
name.
Born from the Yibam should have the name of the mace or perpetuates the neshama of the mace. And yet, Teresh Rabal Peh says, Haya b'chor sher teled, the word teled is a little difficult, is not referring to the
son
of the Yavam. It is referring to the Yavam himself. And Yavam Hashem Machav HaMace is he inherits the property. And b'chor teaches me the b'chor is the one that has kedima in the mitzvah of Yavam. So the Gemara actually says that this is one of the examples in which we bedafka don't follow the rule of Ein HaMikra Yaitzei Yaitzei.
But aren't there... isn't there something about naming the son after the name of the dead person? The firstborn?
There is. I mean, it's a question of how to be answered the Gemara. The Gemara seems to indicate that the Pshat is Nekar Legamri. And yet, we find that there's still an Inyan of...
So in other words, that's only because you need this, you need to drash it out to get the property to the Yavam.
Right.
So you don't have anything else to do that with except that pasuk, right. Maybe.
That's right. That's the only pasuk that.
So it doesn't obviate the pasuk itself.
The pshat can still exist.
Right, but
you are interpreting b'chor.
Only because you know the halacha is that he gets the property. You have to put it on some pasuk.
That's an interesting problem with drushas generally.
Right.
When some make a drusha for a halacha, is it the pshat that the halacha was makubal?
Right.
We know that's the halacha, that's the Masorah of Teresh Rabal Peh, but
right. We're
now mechapes the members in the Torah.
Right.
Or is it the pshat that Chazal were able to look into the Torah through the Yud Gimel Midos and be mitzi halachas? Meaning it's not always pashat. Not every halacha is halacha.
That's true.
The Rambam that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was meiser a kayach to the Chachamim to utilize the Yud Gimel Midas and create halachas. That's why it's Yitachin u'machlekes, you see, because if the pshat would be the etzem halacha of Nimsu Moshe Nisinai, then how could there be a machlokes unless somebody's wrong and yet we say Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elohim Chayim, So the Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meiser the kayach of Yerushal l'chachamim, and the Mela people could come to different conclusions, but they're both emes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're using the methodology of...
We know that something's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, aside from where the Gemara says, so how else would we know?
You don't always know. Although the Rambam seems to give a general maftech, the Rambam seems to say like this. He says, anything that you would need to be able to do the basic mitzvah must be halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. For example, let's take Esra. Pre-Yetz Hadar. The Gemara has drushes. How do you know creates Hador is an Esra.
Right.
So it either darshans, Hador, be Lanai, Hador, makes drushes. And these are drushes from Amoran are making drushes.
Right.
So the Rambam seems to say like this, it's not Yitachen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it to the Chachamim, because you literally wouldn't know how to do the mitzvah. So anything you need for the basic information must have been a halacha l'Moshe, but the Eibishter told Moshe how to do a mitzvah. So you have to differentiate between what you might call episodic halacha.
Right.
You know, what's the halacha, you know, if. Now, it could be based on that, maybe the idea that a Yavam inherits property, since in every case of Yibam, that's going to be the case, that might in fact be halacha l'Moshe, as opposed to things that, you know, a sukkah that's, you know, whatever, that's... not mechubar lekarka, etc. Now that might be through drushes,
right.
Because most people didn't build sukkahs mechubar lekarka.
But if it was a sukkah, it was schach. Yeah, that was the
right. So that would be like, you know, kind of episodic issues versus constant issues. So tefillin are black, right? Tefillin are square. That's halacha moshe. Gemara says that's halacha moshe. That has to be. Otherwise, from day one, I wouldn't know what to do. Yeah, so this is a mitzvah l'gadol l'yavim. And we started off with the b'chor.
Why do you explain things like the Rashi Ben Tam? He always were filling, so...
Yeah, that's a big problem. Because the problem is that each sheet that says the other one is puzzle. See, if the pshat would be, you could have a drasha about what's the katkhila, so you could say people darshan, what the Torah wants you to do better. But here, it's puzzle, right? If I wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin according to Rashi, I'm not yet saying the mitzvah.
Right.
It's a bracha l'batala. And how does that uncertainty even begin? How does it begin? Certainly, Rabbeinu Tam couldn't have woken up one day.
Right.
What were the tefillin that Rabbeinu Tam saw growing up?
Right.
Right. And he comes and says, you know. So they actually say Rabbeinu Tam's makor is a Yerushalmi, although he doesn't say it. Good. So naniach that you have chiluke ideas going all the way back. But you're still going to have a question, like, how did that start on day one?
Right.
Who was the first person who deviated from the accepted pattern of tefillin? And how did that deviation take place? And how is it shayach elu v'elu v'elu kim chayim on such a machlekes if the other shita says that it's possible?
Could it be that Rabbeinu Tam also wore Rashi tefillin? And then put on Rebbeinu Tam.
That could be, but maybe that would just be Tam Sufik, right? I mean, but
Rebbeinu
Tam is.
No, he could have been.
I don't know. You know.
He could have said, you know, like according to the way I'm learning now, I see that this is the order of the.
Rebbeinu Tam might be the only one in history who only wore Rebbeinu Tam's coat, right?
Now,
it's a
Sufik. Maybe at some point, maybe it's, theories, but some point, some made it hither somewhere, and then they got the net that became somehow, and then he decided to change things around. On his own personal.
No, I understand. It would be
some rogue darshan decided to take his own just in case. And then,
yeah, but then you see, but then you have a problem. I understand these things can happen, but then you have a problem of the integrity of the process, meaning we normally.
Right. We say that's
so,
true.
So, yeah. Unless you're going to say once again. It's like anything that's based on drasha. If they have drashos about the Seder of Harshias, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, every chacham who follows his drasha is mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. So if I hold like Rashi and I do Rabbeinu Tam, I'm not Yetzei, but if I hold Rabbeinu Tam, I am Yetzei. What does that mean for us? So since we're not higiel ha'ira to be able to independently assess drasha, so we don't have that kayach, but it could be Rabbeinu Tam. In other words, that would be Elam El Jibbalakim Chayim in the sense that even if they're wrong, if they're going according to the drasha, the Abishur says it's Emes. How did it start? That would be the question, because you'd have to assume that the first guy who did it was making a mistake, but he felt that was the drasha. He felt that was the drasha. Lo saguru v'yish, meaning chacham v'sigia l'hara. But what did the Sanhedrin decide? I mean, again, you know.
Someone showed me, I think it was a Ben Ishchai that said that Moshe Rabbeinu were both at the same time.
You were both at the same time.
I think it was a Ben Ishchai.
Okay. It's very hard to hear that.
It's very hard to hear how that would.
Right. It's a difficult thing. By the way, people don't realize Rabbeinu Tam's got the Rivash has a tshuva that he says he considered Rabbeinu Tam to be a gadol and psak more than the Rambam. Yeah. And he says he put them on the madrega of Rashi, his grandfather. And he said, Ulai gadol mimenu.
Wow.
That's what he says. He said Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. But it's interesting, in one answer, Rabbeinu Tam was very innovative in Mamish being willing to be Mishana a minute, and yet he was also very conservative in the sense that there's a famous Cheirim of Rabbeinu Tam. He put a Cheirim on anyone that changes the Girsa of a Sefer. And he says, if you have, because people were saying, oh, the Rashbam, actually he was directed against his brother, the Rashbam, often said, oh, this Girsa is not right, you have to change the Atois and Girsa. Rabbeinu Tam said, never change. In other words, if you have a Haggah, you put it on the side, but you never change the Sefer, because otherwise, you know, every time you have a Kasha, you change the Girsa, and then there'll be a Yishuv to your Kasha, etc.
And yet we have Ozvahada.
No, but that's why it puts it on the side.
They don't change the text?
No, they don't change it. They do not change the text. They put it on the side. In fact, this was a taina even with, not with Rashi, but based on this. You know, Rashi often says,
Hachigashim.
And over the course of time, most of Hachigashim were in the Mari itself. They were incorporated, the printers incorporated. And they taina that was not correct. Mm. First of all, you don't see what Rashi is being meisiv about. What's Rashi's point?
Right.
Second of all, also being a Tam's Cheirim, you're not supposed to be Magiyah Svarim. So you put Rashi, keep Rashi something there, don't change the Gemara itself.
And that handwritten paper, that obviously got very complicated.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that you have different manuscripts too. What is the one you're not supposed to
write? Right.
But the other thing is the Gemara did not wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So someone asked the Gemara, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? So he said, ah, you want to be Yetzi all the day? So the Gemara made a cheshbon, you have to wear 64 pairs of tefillin, because we have machlekes among Ritzuas, machlekes among Abatim, machlekes among the Parshiyas, machlekes among Psuchas and Stumas. He says, okay, you want to do everything? Do 64 pairs. He says, he doesn't see any maila in doing 2 out of 64 combinations to be Yetzi every day. So. But then finally, I'll tell you another thing. Rebbavitcher Rebbe wrote a letter to Rav Moshe. Do you remember that? He says, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? So Moshe says, Moshe kind of apologizes, he says, in Russia I did, but Moshe got a mutton excuse, he says. I haven't found a cipher that is totally good, you know, Mishlam or Rashi's tefillin, no, I gotta go with it, no matter what. But Rabbeinu Tam, if I can't get a cipher 100%, so the Rabbi Jeremy said, I'll get you a cipher 100%. Moshe was Mediach Rabbeinu Tam.
Really?
The last 15 years of his life. Now, I'm not sure if he genuinely wanted to do that, or since he said to the Rebbe that he would, so anyway, he had to do it. Okay. Let's say, for the screen. Okay, maybe we'll stop. Okay, have a good...